We were talking to Catherine the other night. She was just finishing up her OBGYN rotation, gearing up for her family medicine block. And she wasn't complaining. She doesn't complain. She was advancing a useful alternative. In a hospital, nothing is more frustrating than the mountain of processes and procedures. The endless paperwork, no longer done on paper, making it even slower. The systems and the checkboxes, the access codes, dual factor authentication, the badge swipe, and so on. Catherine proposed starting a business. She planned to call it the NOBS Consulting Company. You call up NOBS and they come into your hospital or school or business and they look at all the ways that you waste your time. They ask practical questions and seek simple answers. If something you are doing doesn't advance your objectives, it is declared BS and put to a halt. Now, I'm not sure a third-year med student has time to start a business, but if she did it, it might be a better income than an eye surgeon or an interventional cardiologist. Because you know it, BS, wasted time, useless steps, all get in the way of real progress and successful outcomes. And I'm not saying, don't hear me saying, don't let anyone think I might have said or even hinted that St. Paul, but St. Paul is indisputably the king of the torturously long process of thought. The run-on sentence, the exhaustive explanation. First chapter of Ephesians contains the Bible's longest sentence. St. Paul goes on 12 verses and 202 words to advance the idea of belonging in Christ and the inheritance received in community. 202 words, one sentence, for a thought that I advanced in a single phrase. I'm not calling up Catherine's consulting firm. I'm just saying that Paul often goes on in great detail to advance his ideas to the churches in his care. Well, except here. Here in 1 Corinthians, Paul is instructing his churches in proper worship, specifically continuing the practice of the early church in the celebrating of the Lord's Supper. It's a pretty monumental idea, full of subtleties and shades of meaning. Transubstantiation, consubstantiation, memorialism, real presence, concomitance, and all of ecclesiology. There is so much that could be said about the Eucharist that it looks like an on-ramp for one of Paul's longest twisting and turning ruminations. But instead, here, St. Paul offers us some of his most matter-of-fact lines in the entire New Testament. There is no BS in this matter-of-fact description. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" That's it. That's all there is to it. Here is what Jesus did with the bread and wine. The Lord told me to tell you to keep doing it. No BS whatsoever. Incredibly matter of fact. It genuinely amazes me that many churches don't continue the Lord's Supper. Jesus' directives, repeated by Paul, are so remarkably straightforward. Do this in remembrance of me. And yet many churches have disregarded the instructions in favor of longer sermons or songs rocked on by the praise band. They can do what they want, and I believe that God is still glorified. But it's worth pointing out that your church either has an altar or a stage. And I think you should know which and think hard about why. Our altar, this altar, is a sacred table from which we serve a sacred meal. One of the reasons we do that, continue to do that, persist in the Eucharistic practice of the church for the past 2,000 years is because the instructions are so clear, so matter of fact. But that's not the only reason, not even really the most important reason. The deepest reason that we and others like us keep sharing the bread and the wine is not because Paul in 1 Corinthians is so matter of fact. It is because the real, actual, felt presence of our Lord is in the bread and wine as a matter of fact. That is what a sacrament is. It is a promise made by our Lord and our belief that Jesus is good to his word. That is why we really believe that our Lord is with us when we gather at his altar and share his sacred meal. That, and the obvious addition that we feel Christ's presence and know it to be true. For us, the real physical presence of Jesus in our worship and fellowship is a fact. For most of us, it's why we are here. On the night before his betrayal and arrest, our Lord gave us this parting gift, the gift of himself. On the very night he would have been fully justified in being worried about his own upcoming suffering, our Lord is far more concerned with our ongoing spiritual needs. As we strip the altar at the end of this service, as the horror of the passion comes into our minds, as we contemplate our Lord's suffering and shameful death, remember that this night, Jesus was thinking of you and giving himself, giving his flesh and blood, so that we would never have to be separated from his love.